Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Commissioner Sankey just sat down. Good morning, Commissioner. How are you?
This is the most intimidating interview of the week every year because there's some music.
You know this music is coming. That's exactly right.
But I'm well otherwise.
Yeah, good.
I am well.
Good to see
We're
you.
We're sitting in the sunshine,
we
not
are.
In the cave of a basement of a hotel. So a lot of room here in Dallas, and great to be out west.
Well, of course,
well, Commissioner,
you know,
I'm disappointed every year. It's Justin Moore, by the way. How are you, sir?
Yeah, you're in the same spot, right?
I'm disappointed every year. You never talk any country music. You always talk rock.
That's a weakness. Right. I can work on some Zach Brown. I can work on some Zach Brown stuff, probably.
Wow, but some Justin Moore. Some Justin Moore stuff.
Well, I like Justin Moore, but I like the ability to pop it off right,
right
on top of my head, because I have added after our conversations on my playlist. But
well, I'm gonna try to make it a little bit more difficult.
I think we need to pivot to like podcast, actually, because that's where I've spent my time.
I got you. Well, we're gonna challenge you. Before we let you go, we'll throw four or five songs at you, and then I'm gonna make the degree of difficulty a little bit higher than what we've done in years past. We've been doing this, the song stuff, for probably since your first year, 2015.
No, it was right away.
Yeah, 2015. Yeah,
15,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was going back. It's interesting, Commissioner, that I went back and looked at some of your notes or some of the from your speech in 2015 in Hoover.
Uh-oh.
And it was a couple of interesting things that popped up. You were the first commissioner, SEC commissioner, to have a Twitter account. Mike Sliver, Rory Kramer didn't have a Twitter account. You were the first SEC commissioner to do Q&A, which I didn't remember that until I saw that in the notes that I guess – Mike Slive did not do that. You were the first.
Yeah, he would do it individually, and so I have a bunch of individual conversations, and not in the big room. And I think that's the responsibility.
I think at
the time the president did.
Right, and then I saw you obviously include Bob Dylan lyrics that first one. I remember
times
that.
Times are changing. I listened to that one a lot actually.
It's interesting too. One of your goals back then, just to show you how the narrative has changed, was. The first foundation of your champion's goal is to never return a championship, never pull down a championship banner, never vacate any wins, and never have a team banned from postseason competition due to NCAA infractions or lack of academic success. And it's interesting how that's where your mindset was coming in as the new commissioner, and now the world that you're in now, which is completely different than it was then.
It is.
Yeah. I was going to say, the degree of difficulty, much heavier, much higher.
Yesterday morning, I started reading a document out of the NCAA about some changes in like NIL enforcement because of state laws where they can't.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
You do have a very different reality. And, you know, that was the focus then. I still think the ability to hold our head high around victories and championships is important. And, you know, last year we won 8 national championships. I think that women's relay finish was one of the most memorable athletic achievements of the year for Arkansas.
Yeah.
Women's
dominated
the national championship. But, you know, back to the essence of it, those unapologetic about setting that expectation. That doesn't mean we've been perfect, but that should be our expectation every day.
A little pivot off of football for a second.
I need to go back and read that.
I know. I went back to look at that. I remember. Went back. Let's talk about, and I don't know if you may have commented on one of our shows on the buzz, but the John Calipari hire, and you know, it's, you know, I've been around a long time. You have too. You don't see a lot of those kind of changes. Just your thoughts on how that's transitioned and how Coach Cal has done so far at Arkansas.
Well, you had an in-state move here in Texas in baseball.
You did. That was going to be my follow-up.
So
to that.
I could say,
you
know what, John Calipari moved from Kentucky to Arkansas.
Right.
Those two fan bases get after.
That's
right, other,
right. But is that something as a SEC commissioner? I mean, obviously you can't stop that from being done. But how do you view that kind of?
Yeah, it happens. People make decisions. You know, Texas A&M's women's basketball coach was at Georgia. Auburn's athletics director was at Mississippi State. Florida athletic director was at Mississippi State. So it takes place, you know, Ross Bjork had been the AD at Ole Miss. Then he went to A&M. Then he went to Ohio State. So people make decisions, and they have to explain their decisions because I'm not involved in that hiring process. I'm just asked to, if they have a compliance track record that's problematic. You know, it strikes me as a nice reset for John. That's my sense. He obviously had built some relationships with the people around the Arkansas program. He loves college basketball. I think he's loved being part of the competition in the Southeastern Conference over his years at Kentucky. He and I have texted a couple times, talked a couple of times. have a great relationship. He's a competitor, and I think he's excited. In fact, I know he's excited about the opportunity because that's exactly what he said. And you know, the work with Hunter and Chancellor Robinson, and just understanding the fan base. And you know, to be in Dallas, I remember the days of the Southwest Conference because I lived here, the Reunion yeah. Arena days.
Oh yeah.
And then the transition to the SEC and that great success. And I think Eric did wonderful work. Last year was tough, but his runs through the NCAA tournament, a competitive team year in, year out, and I think John can do that work and maybe ascend that mountaintop.
What about the let's talk about NIL real quick, about this arc of NIL and where it's headed and how far the game can sustain where we are right now. And I know, listen, that this has been debated over and over again, but do you have sort of in your mind, do you see this sort of evening out or slowing down a little bit over the next couple of years?
Well, we need to work through some hard issues to get there. So we're dealing with outcomes of a legal settlement that won't resolve every NIL issue, but can change the nature of what's emerged. We still believe, and our student athletes tell us, this patchwork of state laws where you play a game and you don't know, as a team in the other uniform, under the same expectations that I have to face, they don't like that. They deserve better than a patchwork of state laws. I'm highly concerned that there's really no consumer protection. And we've seen some stories. We've seen some legal activity about commitments made or
right.
agreements signed
right.
and not fulfilled, or that those agreements extend beyond someone's collegiate enrollment, which is not a healthy circumstance. So our student-athletes deserve better than not having any kind of protection and oversight, which is the way the state laws have been written. And then, there have been story after story of collectives across the country that haven't fulfilled agreements. And I don't want to see us promising checks that can't be written.
Right.
Or writing checks that can't actually be cashed. And a lot of this activity is happening outside of the purview of the university. And that's just not a healthy system. And our elected leaders have to be a part of the problem solving with us. We have to solve our own problems. And that's where I said, and you can quote me maybe in 9 years in my speech this week, there is
right.
There's no easy button.
Right,
there's
right.
a lot of work to correct those set of circumstances.
Before we hit the music, one last question, follow up there. You were with the Southland Conference, right?
Yep, right up the road here.
So I know your job is the SEC, but do you ever look at the trickle-down effect of these smaller schools trying to navigate with, they're never going to be, dealing with the money issues yeah. that the SEC, but the rest of the college world?
I do, and there's two sides to that coin. I think March is a really good example of what we want. So what we want is kind of this Hoosiers feel
right.
around March Madness, where everybody gets a little bit of a chance. You want the best teams to win. Maybe there's a great storyline that emerges, and we've had those, Florida Atlantic yep. a year ago, Loyola a few years before that. At the same time, we want elite teams to be able to succeed. And what we have to move beyond is that everybody has to sit in the same room and make the same decisions about the same issues. That's created the legal risk. And so the issues that I dealt with just a few miles up the road when I was commissioner of the Southland Conference, yeah, we have to do schedules, we have officiating, we have meetings, but those issues are a world away. And I'll offer an example that we had a celebratory event at the University of Texas.
Yeah.
This is just June 30,
yeah,
95 degrees.
Yeah.
There were more people attending that event than I would bargain that 20 of the 32 Division I conferences, men's basketball tournament championships combined,
yeah.
have in attendance.
Yeah.
You get that? A created event.
Yeah,
to just enter because there's a new logo.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Had
yes.
more people than 2/3 combined attendance men's basketball.
And then Pitbull to finish it
yeah.
off of all things.
Yeah, and the commissioner had to get out of the way. But I think that's an indication that we want something special to remain, which is Mark Vandis, and I'll commit to that. I think it's going to adapt a little
right.
bit. We want people to have access. So we want to see Gene Hackman on the sideline there. It's
right.
kind of a metaphor for the upsets, and we've been the victim of those upsets in the last few years, but that's part of the ethos But we can't create entanglements for each other, and I don't think you can solve really big problems any longer just in big ballrooms filled with people.
Right.
Because what I've experienced is you may have 50 people in a room, and there may be 10 of them that contribute to the conversation in a meaningful way. And if you got 50 people in a room and 50 people are engaged in dialogue and problem solving and committing to important decision making, that's great. But that's not the reality. And that is an enormous problem in leading college athletics, in my view.
All right, before we let
Bass,
you go.
Can I just ask about just one thing, please? And it's about NIL. Portal may be another thing, but Commissioner, I just want to know, is the NIL, is it still so fluid? Do you ever see it to be, you know what, this is what it is, and we've kept this same thing for 5 years now, 6 years. Yeah, is it just something that keeps changing every year? Do you see it stopping?
I think both answers embed a yes, and if I give you really long answers, that means there's less.
No, you've got that.
It is fluid because the NIL policies are driven at a state level. So there are two factors to that. One, state laws that have been passed. Some of them were well thought out, but that's the minority. Most, and I would point to the original California law in 2019, was not a well thought out law. They've not had the kind of oversight that you expect from a state governmental entity imposing a law with some oversight expectation. And then you've had attorney generals in a few states that have filed lawsuits against the NCAA for preventing limits on third parties, so outside entities, boosters, fans, being engaged in NIL activity during recruitment, for example. That we didn't create that change. That's change that's been created externally. So that's the yes. It's going to be fluid. And then the yes, does it have to be that way, and can we do something about it? That answer is yes as well. But we have to get people at the state level, at the federal level, at the NCAA level, at the conference level, at the campus level, on the same page. Those are the five fields of play, if you will, from a metaphor standpoint, that we have to be active on. And that's why when I'm asked, like, what's the single biggest problem or what's the solution, there is no luxury of one problem that I get to say that's the big one we'll work on. It's kind of a multi-level, three- or four-dimensional chessboard.
All right. Well done. Well done. All right, Raj. Okay, you got to have to give us either the
Depeche Mode. Depeche Mode, Eurythmics.
Artist or the name of the song, either one. Let's we'll just pepper some and see how many you get right. People. Start with number one, Raj.
Ready? Here we go.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Think letters.
What is it? Creedence Clearwater Revival.
That's right. Right. One for one. Number two, Raj.
You guys are going way back.
We're going back to some 70s.
I may have to hear.
Yeah, this got some stank on it.
Think of a number. Want some whiskey and you wanna... The name of the band.
I'm not going to get it.
Three Dog Night. Mama told me not to come.
I would have got the title if I would have played that one.
All right, Raj, number three.
Are we in Zeppelin?
Led Zeppelin is correct.
I was going to go with the guitar stuff, but the voice gave
up. You'll get this next one very quickly. Number four.
Stones.
Yeah, right there.
Satisfaction.
Number five, Rod.
That's like the NIL song.
You're right.
Oh.
Think of a city.
Oh, Boston.
Very good. Extra credit for the song name?
I tried to buy that album at an antique store 2 weeks ago, by
the way. More than a feeling. Next one, Raj, number six. Classic.
Yeah.
Greatest guitarist of all time.
Well, it's a Hendrix, right?
Yeah. Along the Watchtower. Next one should be easy.
Yes, that's exactly, because I've been listening to that on Dylan. There's about eight, and U2 does an incredible rendition of that. So we should have just let that play.
Sorry. Another one.
I have the Hendrix version on my iPod now, based on a week ago reading this book about Bob Dylan and some of his influences.
Yes, very nice. This will be an easy one for you, Rod. You should get this in less than 2 seconds. Bon Jovi, easy. Now, I expect you to get this one quickly, too. This is a little country, but I think you should get it immediately. Not Justin. All right, Raj, number eight. Come on, Greg. Oh, no!
the voice.
It's a ring of fire, Johnny Nash.
Okay, yes,
I got it before the voice.
You did, yeah, I'll just, give it to you.
You hit me. It's like everybody's got a plan to like, get punched in the face. So it's like when you hear it, you got to process it.
Same thing. In less than 3 seconds, you'll get this next one, number 9. Starts off lightly.
That's a U2 song.
Easy. The last one, number 10.
By the way, that was like one organ note.
Yeah, it's true.
And I got to think through the song.
Where the streets have no name. My last one. This is an old school female. Hit it, Raj.
Respect.
Yes.
Is this the Tina Turner
no,
version?
No, give me, come on. It is Respect.
Oh,
Queen of Soul.
Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin. Oh, very nice. He worked his way through it.
That's like range. I'm 4 years old for the Hendrix thing, which my parents weren't letting me listen to Hendrix then.
Well, listen, that was 10. I think you got. Was it 9?
Some
eight
form.
Of 10? Of 9
something.
Of 10.
I think so.
Well done.
Razorbacks will take that record.
So by the way, you pressurized the system. You got 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So when you said that, I'm trying to listen to Johnny Cash, which is also on my iPod, and I listen to
Greg. My buddies know I do that, Greg, to make it right, guys, just make it a little more difficult.
That's right. And we start counting down.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's the worst.
Try that with your wife when you go, all right, we're going to go eat dinner, but you got 3 seconds to tell us where it is.
No, it doesn't work. In all seriousness, we'll go to like 80s on 8 and 70s on 7 on Sirius XM, and I'm like, my kids, I would take them on road trips, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to look, but we're going to play Name That Tune.
Very nice.
Like but I don't do that anymore.
Well, you did. Listen, next year we're going to let you know. We will put Justin Moore. There'll be a Justin Moore song in there. We expect you to refresh your Justin Moore catalog to prepare for
that.
Have
you ever seen the Seinfeld when he's like signing the checks from Japan for like a penny?
Yes.
Roger.
Justin,
yes.
I'm going to go hit iTunes hard so you can get all these residual checks for like 2 cents out of that.
Absolutely.
Greg Sankey, thanks as always, Commissioner. We appreciate you. Yep. Thanks so much for your time.
After the Texas game, when he and I interacted, I did go purchase some, so I just
look
need to bump them up to a priority.
That's right. He will be in next year.